Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. Welcome back to Tesla Daily. Hope everybody had a great weekend. It turned into a pretty heavy news weekend. We've got big news from three factories, Berlin, Shanghai, and Texas. We've also got a leaked email from Elon Musk, a couple of product updates, price target increases, and more to talk about today. Strong start to the week for Tesla stock, finishing up 5.1% on the day to $1,136.99. The NASDAQ fared well too, finishing up 1.9%. Feels kind of anticlimactic for a 5% move, but I think this is just because we've kind of been in this trading range, and really this is just recovering what Tesla gave up at the end of last week. Quick check-in on Elon Musk's stock sale. No new news here since we had last talked about it. The last Form 4s we got were November 23rd, which we talked about on Friday. We'll see if there are more Form 4s tonight. Just to quickly wrap up with the more stock-related stuff, then we did see two new price targets in the last few days for Tesla. First is by Mirae Asset Securities. They've raised their price target from $937 previously all the way to $1,446 per share. And then the second is actually a new initiation of coverage. This is from China Securities on Friday. They've started off coverage with a $1,485 price target and a buy rating. Unfortunately, no real reports on the content of those investor notes, so we don't really have any context for those price targets. All right, so let's get into the news on the factories, and we'll start off with Berlin. As we know, last week the public commentary period wrapped up, and we now seem to have our first status update since. So this is from Automobil Foche per Bloomberg. They write, quote, "Local regulators are expected to grant the necessary permits within days," the magazine said, "without reporting where it received its information," end quote. As far as I can remember, Automobil Foche has been a pretty good source of information in the past, so I think we still need to take this with a bit of a grain of salt, but it really is the first information that we have seen. They also report that 5 units of Model Y have already been completed as test production, though they specify not on the production line, so I'm not sure exactly what that means. And though they did say permits are expected within days, they say that serial production would start with 1,000 cars per week and gradually increase from January. They also mentioned an estimate of 30,000 vehicles being produced in the first half of 2022, and I think a lot of people have taken that as Tesla's production target. I really don't think that's the case. To me, that seems to be an external estimate, and if we look at how that might compare to Shanghai's ramp, for example, it might seem to be a little bit low at first glance. In the first 2 quarters of true production for Shanghai, they did about 50,000 units total. But that might not be the fairest comparison because Tesla did actually start production in Q4 of 2019. They probably produced a little bit less than 1,000 vehicles in that quarter after starting trial production all the way back in October 2019, but that period of time does still matter if we're going to try to compare with Giga Berlin. And with Berlin, we don't really know how fast they can go from, let's say, 0 to 1,000 per week. Because of these permitting delays, it might be possible that Tesla could do it a little bit faster, especially if that is what this report is implying when they say 1,000 cars per week in January. If that is the case, then looking again at Shanghai, we can see that Tesla was able to go from a little over 1,000 per week in Q1 2020 to over 2,000 per week in Q2 2020. Wouldn't be terribly surprising to see Tesla be able to replicate that. We know that Tesla wants to be able to ramp up each successive factory more quickly, and we know that at least initially, Tesla does plan to start with the 2170 cells rather than the new 4680s for Berlin, which should to some extent, not fully, but to some extent, mitigate the risks of new technology with the ramp. Maybe the other biggest question then is just how much of an outlier Shanghai is in general. Obviously, from start of groundbreaking to actual production, that was a much quicker process in Shanghai. Maybe some of the same elements that facilitated that also contributed to a really rapid ramp up. So then likewise for Berlin, maybe some of the things that caused a longer lead time for the project in general could also carry over to the time it takes to ramp production, whether it's cultural, regulatory, or whatever else. So that's what we're going to find out over the next 6 months, and it may not seem all that material, whether Tesla produces 30,000 or 50,000, but just like we use Shanghai as a benchmark for future production ramps, Berlin then becomes a benchmark as well, and the speed of the initial portion of the ramp also is going to contribute to the perception of the later parts of the ramp. So learning that trajectory is going to be more important to investors than just the raw number of vehicles that end up being produced. It's probably also worth noting that we may not actually know, because Shanghai was kind of unique in that we do get China industry reports covering production. I wouldn't expect that we get that level of detail for Berlin. Another quick note while we are on the topic of Giga Berlin, Elon did address the subsidy that Tesla has allegedly declined to accept. Remember, this is $1 billion plus that we talked about on Friday. Elon saying, quote, "We learned our lesson with $465 million Department of Energy loan received in 2010/11. Onerous terms exceed value of money received. That's why we paid it back so early, despite an early repayment penalty," end quote. So Elon seems to be suggesting, kind of as we speculated on Friday, that there were just too many terms associated with this funding that would not be favorable to Tesla in the end. All right, next up, we're going to move on to Giga Shanghai. We've got a couple of interesting reports here from people that do drone flyovers of that factory. First up from Jason Yang, who in one of his latest videos says about Shanghai that, quote, in November, it can produce more than 1,600 Model Y and more than 2,000 Model 3 every day, end quote. All right, so that's quite the number and obviously would be very exciting if anywhere near true. But I think we need to approach this with a healthy amount of skepticism, and I'll give the reasons here for that. First off, let's remember that back in September, we heard similar rumors about Tesla being able to produce 1,600 Model Y per day and 800 Model 3 per day. That 800 Model 3 per day is about where Tesla was running for Q3, so that did seem pretty plausible. And then for the Model Y, that 1,600 per day number, that's the same number that we're hearing again here. But if we look at October production, which remember, we did have that week of downtime at the start of the month, so even factoring that out, the Model Y production rate for October without that downtime was about 1,150 per day, so well short of that 1,600 per day that we had heard back in September. Now, that was still the best Model Y production rate we had seen, but then we also saw, very interestingly, Model 3 production really spike up in October for about that same 1,150 per day rate. That's also excluding that downtime at the beginning of the month. So summing that up, we had heard 1,600 Model Ys per day, 800 Model 3s per day, and we actually came in at 1,150 of both. Now, that's kind of even more interesting because, in summation, that adds up to about 2,300 per day, which is actually super close to 1,600 plus 800. So the 2,400 per day that we had heard, just the allocation of that was quite different than what was reported. So in a way, those rumors were both spot on, but also way off, which makes it a little bit harder to have a lot of confidence in them. But if we just look high level, daily production, Tesla was able to go from about 1,300 units per day in August all the way up to 2,300 units per day in October, so about 1,000 per day more in the course of just 2 months. And this rumor would be essentially Tesla getting close to repeating that process because we're now basically into December, so basically 2 months removed from October. And if Tesla were to make that same 1,000 vehicle per day progress that we saw in that previous 2 month period, well, they'd be pretty darn close to this 3,600 per day total that we're seeing reported here. It's probably also worth considering that we did see that really big jump in the Model 3 production rate in October, and perhaps that was not the completion of the ramp that we're going to see there. Perhaps that was just capturing the start of progress towards a number like 2,000 per day. So again, plenty of good reasons to be skeptical of this rumor, and anytime we're talking about production rates, we need to consider that they may be referring to just peak output and not necessarily sustainable for a week or even a month. If numbers like this were true, I would definitely assume that they were talking about peaks, and those two peaks may not work in combination. So maybe they could do 1600Y or 2003 in a day, but not 3600 combined, even though we did just talk about those combined numbers actually being pretty close to the rumors we heard before. That's still not how I would assess these. Anyway, I know a lot of intricacies and caveats there, but obviously a number like this would be extremely impactful, so I do think it's worth spending just a few minutes here to go through those details. For what it's worth, even 3,000 cars per day would be about 270,000 per quarter, or about 1.1 million annually. We should start to get our first insight into any potential validity here with the November sales numbers in China, which we should get in a little over a week. Wrapping up with Shanghai, I did mention two reports from drone video producers there at Giga Shanghai. So the second one is from Wuwa, who on Twitter did report that, quote, Tesla plans to have a production capacity of 1 million to 1.5 million units at the Shanghai plant next year, end quote. We'll spend a lot less time on this one because I think kind of all those same caveats that we just went through also apply. But with Tesla's October production run rate already in excess of 800,000 per year, I think no one would be too surprised by a number in that range, even not factoring in the rumor that we talked about prior to this one. All right, let's continue our factory tour and move on over to Giga Texas. Remember last week we had talked about some different registration documents appearing online with the Texas Department of Licensing and Regulation. This was for 5 different areas of Tesla's factory in Texas. And previously the current status was listed as Project Registered. For all 5 of these registration documents, that current status has now been changed to Review Complete. So that seems like a good step. Unfortunately, I haven't really come across anyone that has a really solid understanding of how this permitting process works in Texas yet. I'll keep trying to figure that out, and obviously let me know in the comments if you've got a better idea. But we certainly haven't seemed to have the permitting hangups along the way in Texas like we have in Berlin, so don't really anticipate any issues for Tesla on that front. All right, next up, we're talking about a leaked Elon Musk email. This was to apparently all Tesla employees. So obviously most of these end up sneaking out in some way, shape, or form. But this is Elon again commenting on the delivery wave. We had talked about a previously leaked email where Elon said that that would wind down in this quarter, so Q4. This email reiterates that, saying, quote, "Per my email several weeks ago, our focus this quarter should be on minimizing cost of deliveries rather than spending heavily on expedite fees, overtime, and temporary contractors just so the cars arrive in Q4. What has happened historically is that we sprint like crazy at end of quarter to maximize deliveries, but then deliveries drop massively in the first few weeks of the next quarter. In effect, looked at over a six-month period, we won't have delivered any extra cars, but we will have spent a lot of money and burned ourselves out to accelerate deliveries in the last 2 weeks of each quarter. We will still have quite a big wave of deliveries in the last few weeks of December, as we don't have high-volume production either in Europe or Texas, which means a lot of cars on boats from China to Europe and on trucks and slash or rail from California to the East Coast arriving late in the quarter, but this is nonetheless the right time to start reducing the size of the wave in favor of a steadier and more efficient pace of deliveries. The right principle is to take the most efficient action as though we were not publicly traded and the notion of end of quarter didn't exist. Thanks, Elon." End quote. So of course we've discussed this topic a lot in the past, and I'm really, really happy that Tesla is now finally getting to the point where they do feel comfortable doing this. Yes, it's going to make some of their financials look a little bit weaker, but as Elon points out, net-net, it just results in a more efficient business. And clearly the market is at least starting to understand Tesla a little bit more than it did in the past. So the upside in optimizing for the quarterly financials is just way, way lower than it was historically. Elon did comment further on this on Twitter saying, quote, "It will still be very intense, just slightly less than in the past," end quote. So we'll obviously talk more about this as we get into more final Q4 delivery and production discussions, but we'll just have to remember that production is likely to outpace deliveries by a pretty significant amount, but I still think we're going to see really excellent quarter over quarter growth from Q3, which was already very strong on a financial level. All right, next up, I want to get into a topic that seemed to get a lot of attention over the weekend, even though this did happen back on November 10th, and that was an interview with Andrew Ross Sorkin and GM CEO Mary Barra. Of course, there's been a lot of attention around her since President Biden's comments that we talked about GM and Mary Barra leading in EVs, which pretty clearly not the case. Anyway, Andrew Ross Sorkin asking Mary Barra about their electric vehicle position and framing the question in, I think, a really strong way.
Right now, GM, in terms of the electric vehicle market, you have about 9-10% of the market. Tesla has about 63% of the market. 5 years from now, if you succeed, but everybody else has their own success right in this space, mm-hmm. what does that pie chart look like?
Well, we have said, just like we're the leader today, if you set aside, you know, with the distortion that's happening with the semi shortage, we have been the leader in the United States. We've been number two in China for many years. I think when you get to, you know, wanting to get, excuse me, to, you know, 50% all EVs, you have to win customers that they only drive one vehicle. They only own one vehicle. They depend on that vehicle every day. General Motors has brands that they trust. We have the highest loyalty rating. We have manufacturing plants that are ready to go. And so when I look at our ability to scale, to serve customers, I think we're incredibly well positioned, and we're not going to cede our leadership position to anyone.
Okay. I mean, he gives her the market share statistics right at the beginning of this question, which I guess she didn't hear because she just immediately says that we are the leader today and then closes with, we are not going to cede our leadership position. This is just like a few weeks back when we talked about her appearance on CNBC and she was asked if GM can catch up to Tesla within the next 5 years. And she said, absolutely. And we actually looked at GM targets, and their targets for 5 years out are essentially equivalent to where Tesla is already at today. So even their own plans don't allow them to catch up to Tesla. So her response was either extremely misleading or extremely ignorant. And here we see that she is presented with the information in the question, so can't really claim ignorance on that. Instead, she just blatantly makes the choice to be extremely misleading with the words she is using. Seemed like she tried to throw some little caveat in there about like chip shortages, but okay. I'm sure, GM, that's why you're not at 63% market share instead of Tesla, just the chip shortage. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't understand, what is so wrong with people that people can actually view this as strong leadership? This is just a CEO of a company being asked about a competitor and sitting there and in response, blatantly lying. And she knows it, I know it, we all know it, and yet she does it anyway. Her ethics are so completely twisted up by what she feels she needs to present that she somehow feels like it's in her best interest to claim a leadership position with 9% market share compared to a competitor that's six times the amount of market share. This is the kind of leadership that makes deals with Trevor Milton. Well, good luck, GM. I'm sure this will just go great for you. By the way, if you want to know who the leader is, just reflect on the questions you were asked in this interview. Tesla was mentioned 14 times by Andrew Ross Sorkin in the first 14 minutes of this interview. It's a 20-minute interview. That alone is probably more indicative of reality than Mary Barra's comments are. By the way, we're not going to go through every single question, but the whole interview was pretty interesting, and again, Andrew Ross Sorkin kind of put her on the spot in a lot of questions. So if you do want to watch that full interview, I'll put the link for that down in the description. All right, next up here, we've got a few Elon tweets to go through. So first up on the Cybertruck, we haven't heard Elon talk a ton about that recently, but he did share a couple of thoughts today in response to a thread originating around the yoke design. Anyway, he said, quote, Cybertruck is intentionally an insane technology bandwagon, and added, quote, Cybertruck will reach far into a post-apocalyptic future and bring that technology to now, end quote. It's also probably worth noting that up thread, before Elon was specifically asked about the Cybertruck having a yoke, he did say that variable gain steer-by-wire yoke would be ideal. So Elon not explicitly saying that the Cybertruck would have steer-by-wire, but maybe sort of implying it in how this conversation formed. Elon did also reply to a question on a Cybertruck update, and he said, quote, oh man, this year has been such a supply chain nightmare, and it's not over. I will provide an updated product roadmap on next earnings call, end quote. So it looks like Elon will plan to be on the Q4 call after taking leave from the Q3 call. As for timing, my guess is that'll happen on January 26th, so we're about 2 months out from that earnings call. I think in general, it's probably more likely for Elon to make occasional earnings call appearances on the Q4 call, because that's kind of wrapping up the year, you have your annual report. So if he's going to be on some, but not all calls, I think the Q4 call makes sense, as well as just on an ad hoc basis, which this may very well be too. All right, last couple of things here. We continue to see more and more connecting of dots around December 9th. We talked a little bit about that in the FSD beta video, but people are just rampantly looking for any sort of connections here. I'm not sure that there's one here, but Elon did have sort of a, I don't know, potentially cryptic tweet when he replied today to a tweet from a couple months back that was explaining some of the reasons Elon had back in 2013 for not wanting to take SpaceX public. But Elon replying saying a lot has happened in 8 years. And the most interesting part of this is that basically when this was originally tweeted, Elon had replied with basically the same thing. So he's digging up this old tweet and making a reply that he already made. So that, of course, begs the question of, why are you doing that, Elon? And is it some kind of message? It's actually the third time Elon has made this reply basically on Twitter, but the other one seems to be unrelated, just in reply to a Clean Technica tweet about Tesla's roadmap from 2012. So beyond admitting that I do find this to be a little bit odd and interesting, I won't further speculate. It seems like kind of the flavor of the week seems to be that maybe this tweet is somehow connected to what seems to have been some allusions to December 9th, which of course you can tie together through numerology. So maybe Elon is hinting at a SpaceX IPO or Starlink IPO or something on December 9th, or maybe the S1 gets filed. I'm pretty skeptical of those ideas, just like I'm skeptical of the stock split. I'm becoming less skeptical of something happening on December 9th, but I doubt it's those things. We'll leave it for Twitter to sort out. All right, last up for today then is an announcement from Nissan on their electric vehicle strategy. They're calling it Nissan Ambition 2030, somewhat interestingly titled after what their plan is lacking. Sorry, had to do that one. Some residual frustration from GM there, I think. But anyway, Nissan is targeting, quote, 23 new electrified models, including 15 new EVs by fiscal year 2030, aiming for an electrification mix of more than 50% globally across the Nissan and Infiniti brands, end quote. And I'm specifically quoting the language that they use there because they do make the distinction between electrified models and EVs, but then continue on to say that that 50% target is for electrification. Piece those things together and it's clear that their 50% target definitely includes plug-in hybrids. They also comment on their battery capacity intentions. They say working with their partners, they intend to increase their global battery production to 52 gigawatt hours by fiscal year 2026 and 130 gigawatt hours by fiscal year 2030. If we assume all that capacity went to fully electric vehicles, which we know it's not, 52 gigawatt hours at 75 kilowatt hours per pack would be about 690,000 EVs per year. And at the higher 130 gigawatt hours by 2030, it'd be about 1.7 million per year. So clearly not the loftiest of targets here from Nissan. They also unveiled 3 concept electric vehicles. So we'll put that up on screen here, but probably not even worth mentioning because except for the one on the right, I think they'll probably not end up looking like that at all. All right, so that is where we'll wrap it up for today then. Sorry for a little bit of that snarkiness today, but as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Tuesday, November 30th, last day of November episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.